Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Outlaw Michael Tomczyk Talk Show. This is the Outlaw Michael Tomczyk. I am awaiting my very special guest, MMA fighter Kevin Ford, a.k.a. the Irish Hammer. And hopefully he'll be calling in here in a few minutes as we had scheduled this interview time at 11 a.m. here on the new Outlaw Blog Talk Show Sports. And we're going to be asking Kevin a few questions and giving some insight on amateur MMA and events around here in Reno. So, like I said, I'm kind of just waiting for Kevin to call in, wasting a few minutes. If you guys want to call in, the guest call-in number is 619-789-1943. You can call in right now and talk to me live. I am live on Blog Talk Radio on the Internet. You guys want to look it up, just look up the Outlaw Michael Tomczyk Blog Talk Show, and you'll find me. Just look up the Outlaw Michael Tomczyk. And I believe I have Kevin on the phone. Let me bring Kevin on. And hey, is this Kevin?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Hey, Kevin Ford, I want to introduce you to the world. Thanks for coming on Outlaw Sports Talk Show. And I just want to chat with you a little bit. I really appreciate you taking your time to come on the show. Thank you for that, first and foremost. And anybody can call in at 619-789-1943. After the show is done, you guys can go on Facebook, Google, Yahoo, and some other websites if you want to listen to the show. Kevin, let's start off and tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 31. I was born and raised in L.A. When I was younger. I moved up to Oregon in about third grade. Finished school there, moved back down to the Bay Area with my dad. And that's when I got introduced to martial arts. I started training at the age of 20 in Muay Thai. Let's see. I did Muay Thai for a good 3 to 4 years, I want to say. I had trained for my level 3 certificate, which is the second highest ranking you can achieve. And me and my buddy, we had plans to go down to Thailand and actually do the level 4 certificate and do the traditional, you know, Thai dance and everything involved in that.
Oh, that would be a heck of an experience to do that. So you didn't get the opportunity to do that, or?
No. Unfortunately, the place that I started training at, it was a very small gym. They didn't have enough funds coming in, so they had to shut the place down. And after that, I moved into another gym, and they did kickboxing, but it wasn't really traditional. And they didn't have I didn't feel like I wanted to further it anymore. I just kind of lost touch with it a little bit. And that's when I found jiu-jitsu, and I started training in that.
So one of the questions I'm going to, you brought up the word traditional. So can, as an MMA fighter, can you kind of explain to our audience out there, what's the difference between like a traditional and non-traditional?
Well, when I say that, I mean, there's a few different styles. You know, there's American style kickboxing, and then you have your Thai from, you know, Thailand. And that's what I learned. And for me, that's traditional for me. That's where my roots come from when I mentioned traditional.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was pretty much finished.
Okay, well, one of the questions I know I wanted to ask you, and I know I get asked this a lot, and like I said, one thing I'll bring up, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and to let you know, you're my first interview in 4 years since I've been on the radio. So this is my first show in 4 years that I have done, and now my company is live here in Reno, Nevada, so I really appreciate you coming on the show and being my first guinea pig on Block Talk Radio here. So that first and foremost. But one of the things I wanted to ask you is, here in Nevada, now I was in Florida for 4 years, and I did cover some MMA out there, so I have a little bit of knowledge about how the MMA amateur circuit works. So I want to ask you a question here about Nevada. Now, in Nevada, do you have to still, as an amateur MMA fighter, do you still have to register with the Boxing Commission, or is there a commission or a license that you have to get to be registered as an amateur MMA fighter?
I've been here in Nevada for about 8 months now, actually. And I haven't registered anywhere in the state of Nevada yet. But I know in California, I was under a organization called CAMO. And I had to register under California for my fighter license. And I had to go through some blood work and a physical, basically stating that I'm healthy enough to actually compete and fight. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure in every state you go to, I'm pretty sure you have to go through the same process.
Now, another question I would have for you then, because I'm not really familiar with the state of Nevada either, to be honest with you. So one of my questions to you, I know, again, I'm going by my experience that I covered in Florida. So one of the things that I learned in Florida as the amateur MMA fighters is that you have to get a certain amount of fights under your belt before you can consider yourself like semi-professional or professional fighter. Is that still a true statement, or...?
I believe it's, personally, I think it's basically your skill level and how comfortable you feel. I know a lot of the times, people move up to professional, you know, after they have like a good long fight win streak going for them. And like the level of, I guess the level to compete changes, so they want to challenge themselves, so they seek out more skilled opponents. And I know a lot of the times it all has to do with sponsorships, because a lot of amateur fighters, they work and they pay for all their training and everything. Now, I know I've worked with a couple professionals, and basically they pick up a big name sponsor that pays for the majority of their, you know, fight training, you know, other camps that they're involved with, and, you know, food and stuff like that to help them through to actually be able to make that next step up there.
Well, that would be my next question, since you're talking about sponsorships and financial Park says, as an amateur MMA fighter, are you paid for any of your fights?
No, I know in California, I don't think they're really sanctioned. The few fights that I have done, I have received a check, and it wasn't for very much. I mean, maybe $100, and then you get a percentage of the tickets that you sell. So it's not very profitable as an amateur.
So basically, so like you would go, you would book in a company, like an amateur MMA company. I don't know some of the ones out here on the West Coast. I know some of the ones back East. But so I know, because I'm talking to a company right now. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's called CWF. They're coming here. They have an event at GSR on March 19th. So a company like this, would they still be considered an amateur company?
I believe so. They both do amateur and professional. I have heard with them. I've actually talked with them a little bit when I lived in California. And I know as an amateur, I believe they'll pay for your hotel accommodations, and then they give you a percentage of the ticket sales.
Okay, and let's talk about another subject then. And I kind of want to talk about the health side of this, too. As an MMA fighter, when you go into a fight, obviously, I mean, you're going into this knowing that it is possible you could get injured and hurt. So as an amateur fighter, are you responsible for, like, all your medical expenses or anything that happens in the ring, or should the company help you with that?
As I'm aware, as an amateur, I believe if you get hurt inside the cage or inside the ring, I'm not sure if they're liable for, like, medical bills or anything. I think that pretty much comes out of your pocket. Now, as a professional, under the organization that you're fighting for, I believe that if you're hurt inside the ring, that they actually pay for that injury. If you break a foot or a hand, they'll pay for the medical bills for that sort of stuff. But as an amateur, I believe not.
Yeah, I do know the UFC recently in the past year did something with something similar to that, giving some kind of medical benefits, but that's with the UFC. So I want to kind of go through a scenario with you. I want to get your perspective on this. So
okay.
Tell me about, like, what's your typical training?
As of right now, I haven't been in the gym lately, but I wake up in the mornings and I usually go for a quick run, about 15 to 30 minutes, depending on my schedule. After work, I do a lot of, weightlift or just body training, body weight training, like push-ups, sit-ups, squats, stuff like that, just to kind of get into the swing of things again. But once I get back into the gym, it's, you just work on basically the game plan that you have going into the fight, your strengths, and, stuff like that. But I've been out of the – go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've been out of the fight scene for about 2 years now. The last fight that I had, I ended up with a partial torn retina. It wasn't bad, but the doctor said I didn't need the surgery, but we kept a close eye on everything, and I just went back to the doctors a few months ago to get checked out, and he said everything looked okay.
Yeah, see, that's one concern I have over a long time career, and I have a lot of friends that are MMA fighters and stuff, and I know injuries like that, other injuries do that. So let me ask you this. So let's just, like I said, I wanted to do this scenario with you. So you're at an event, you're in the back, you're getting ready to walk to the ring, and I kind of want to explain to me what your mindset is as you're going to the ring, as you're approaching the ring and getting into this ring, what's running through your mind? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts?
Personally, everybody has their different opinions and everything. But usually what goes through my mind, I try clearing everything out, you know, my adrenaline's kicked in and I'm hopped up, ready to go. You know, I'm going in for a battle. So I try to go in there with a clear mind. Cause I know a lot of the times if you get mad or upset, you know, you can have a cloudy mind and, you know, your game gets thrown off. But, you know, for the most part, I'm pumped up. I've got a clear mind, ready to go in for battle.
Now, when you have an opponent, do you usually, like, scout your opponent ahead of time? Or let me ask you this, too, and with that question, if you're scouting your opponent ahead of time, something like that, you don't really know your opponent very well. You're getting in a ring with this other guy that you're going to fight. So I know the UFC is trying to, like, good sportsmanship and all that, but once you guys get in that ring and that happens, I mean, what's your feelings afterwards as well?
I'm not a hateful person. I have a lot of respect for fighters, you know. Trash talking is part of the game, unless there's actually a grudge. I don't have any ill feelings towards anybody after the fight. I mean, we're all in it for the same reason. We love the sport. You know, it's competitive. So it's nothing but respect for my opponent afterwards, you know. But once that cage is closed, it's, you know, you're in there fighting, you know, pretty much for your life, you know. But after that, you know, we can be drinking buddies, whatever, you know, training partners. It doesn't matter.
Right. Now, I know, where do you train at here in Reno?
I'm going to be training actually down in the Reno Academy of Combat, I believe it's called. I did all my training was from California, so this is going to be a new experience for me with a bunch of new guys.
Right. Now, are there, with the Reno Academy of Combat, is there actually ring and sparring that goes on there? Or I've never been there, so I guess one of these days I'm going to have to pop in.
Yeah, no, it's actually a pretty nice facility. You walk in, you have your basically your matted area where you do, you know, rolling around for jiu-jitsu or light sparring. To the left, they have like a weight room and everything, an exercise room. And then in the back, there's actually a small cage for actual sparring and live scenarios.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. I've been looking for somewhere to do like some video too. So maybe I will pop in and talk to someone there. Well, Kevin, I don't know. You go by the Irish Hammer. Let's talk about your Irish Hammer name, a.k.a. the Irish Hammer. So where did that come from?
Well, everybody knows I'm Irish. That's my background. So everybody at my old gym, they always called me Irish. And one day we were going, and I just decided I was throwing hammer fist. And the name caught on, Irish Hammer. And ever since that, you know, everybody's called me the Irish Hammer.
Yeah, I love that name, so it's really awesome. Well, Kevin, let me ask one more question. Are you married, involved with anyone?
I am involved. I have a girlfriend of 9 months right now, and she's actually going to be moving over here within the next couple weeks. She actually lives in California.
Hey, well, the reason I was asking that, not so much to try to get too personal with you, but I was just kind of curious, asking like what your spouse or your fiance or your girlfriend, what her position on your choice of MMA career is.
She's not very a violent person. She's, you know, soft-spoken, sweet type of girl. She supports me in it, which is nice to have that support system from, you know, somebody close to you like that. But this is going to be my first fight with her by my side. I had an ex who I have a daughter with, and she was there for my first three fights that I had in MMA. And that was kind of difficult. That was kind of a dark time in my past, you know.
So. Right. I did see on your record that you had three losses, and I did want to ask you a little bit about that. I don't know if you want to expand on it a little or not.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with that at all. It was I lived in a small town in Northern California, up by Chico, called Gridley. It's a farming community. The nearest place to train was actually an hour of way. And there was another town about 2 hours out who actually started a promotion called NorCal Combat. And I got in with the wrestling guys at the local high school, and they were actually part of NorCal Combat. And so I was asked if I wanted to do a show, and it was kind of short notice. It was a week out, and I jumped on it. I actually lost 20 pounds for that fight to make a catchweight fight, which was pretty interesting. But I never really had actual training for those events. I didn't have time to make it out to the gym. So it was basically, you know, the little training that I got with the guys at the through the wrestling at the high school, and you know, basically a bag workout that I had set up in my house.
What about now? Or do you have someone that you work with that works with you with training and stuff now?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, I'm going to be at the Reno Academy of Combat. I've talked to the head trainer down there, Rick, I'm going to get in there soon, and we're going to, you know, work on the next few months to get me prepared for this fight. I'm actually going to be fighting at 185 in June for cage-bound fighting championships out of California. The fight's going to be in Modesto. So I've got about 4 months to prepare for this fight, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I know I'm going to get a lot of good training out of Reno here, where I'm going to be training at. There's a lot of good guys. He's got a few guys that fight for Bellator right now. So I'm definitely excited for another level, you know, of fighting there. And I think it's going to help my career, you know, jumpstart my career back into the win streak.
Well, since you mentioned that you have a future fight out here in Modesto, and live on the air, I'm going to make this offer to you since you're starting training, you're going for this fight in Modesto. If I can do it, you said it was in June sometime, I would love to be there and videotape your fight for you.
Oh, I'd appreciate it. I'd appreciate that a lot.
Well, if we can work it out, I'd definitely follow up with you on your training and stuff like that. Like I said, I really appreciate you coming on today. I know you're taking your lunch hour, so I don't want to take too much of your time, so you can go grab something to eat and go back to work. But before I go, that's one more question I had. I've learned this with a lot of amateurs, because like I did amateur sports in Florida for 4 years, all kinds of sports, football, basketball, MMA, and there's a lot, especially on the amateur level, that you have to work and still earn a living and train and do this. So is that a little bit complicated as well?
It is complicated. Like I mentioned, I have a daughter. So a lot of the times, I got to spend with her. I don't make as much money as I did in California. But the cost of living out here is a little cheaper, so it kind of makes it a little easier. I do have help from a few people. I'm looking for, sponsors to help pitch in for this fight camp and help pay for training and stuff like that. So I'm not coming completely out of pocket, because I still have to support my daughter. But it's definitely difficult at times. Yeah. To make everything work and actually, eat proper too, with the budget. 'Cause you know, eating healthy is part of, is one of the biggest parts of training and getting your body physically fit for this fight. And it's not cheap to eat right, you know.
Right. I'm going to give you the opportunity because we have about 4 minutes left on the show here. And you mentioned that you were looking for a sponsor and things. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to throw out or call out or give any information you want to give to anyone that would be listening that would be interested in sponsoring you or doing anything like that. How would they contact you and exactly what you're looking for?
As of right now, you can reach me. You know, my phone number, if, you know, you can reach me at area code 530-718-8566. My name's Kevin Ford. You can find me on Facebook. I have Instagram. On my Instagram account, I'm actually under Irish Hammer. I'm just looking, you know, for help. I'm not looking for big name sponsors or anything like that. I'd like to stay local with some maybe smaller businesses, help them grow, you know, work together to, you know, create goals for ourselves for the future and help us both grow. So if there's any small companies out there that, you know, support MMA and, you know, guys like that who are hungry to get the going and, you know, get in the win column and hopefully put a belt around my waist here within the next year or so. Feel free to give me a call or message me on Facebook or Instagram.
Oh, and we'll definitely do that. And I'll actually, after the show, I'll email you some phone numbers for you to call as well. I have, like I said, quite a few friends in MMA. So I want to say one more time, Kevin, the Irish Hammer, Kevin Ford, thank you very much for coming on the Outlaw Sports Talk Show with the Outlaw Michael Tomczyk. And I look forward to talking to you down the road here and seeing how your training's going. And hopefully we can hook up and get you get a climax ending to this and get your fight broadcasted live on the air with Outlaw Sports Entertainment.
I'd love that. I appreciate your time and having this opportunity available.
Well, thank you very much, and have a good day, Kevin.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right. You guys, including Kevin Ford, remember, you guys, my motto is become an outlaw because you're wanted. Thank you very much.